This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamotu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today I have with me...
Diana Stephens.
And I'm Stuart Burks. Now, Diana, you've had a lot of involvement with dancing over the years.
Yes, I suppose I have. My earliest recollection of dancing would have to be, I think, fancy dress balls. The first one would have been during the war in Primer 1 or Primer 2 at College Street School.
Which means, what age is that?
Five or six.
So then you had fancy dress
but balls. I can remember I was a fairy, but I cannot remember the dancing.
No. That's all right, because my children, I remember my youngest daughter at least at that age, they had a disco.
Oh, really? Well, we'd never heard of that, so, of course.
No, quite different. So you had fancy dress balls.
Yes, and then the next one, we were living in Cobalton after the war, and we used to walk down from the school to what I had thought was the opera house, but the little town hall in Cobalton. And we would practice all sorts of dances, and we'd practice the Grand March. This was for the fancy dress ball, and then come
the Grand March. Is that a dance or
the Grand March was a march, and we crisscrossed the hall, followed the leader in different patterns, all dressed up. Mm-hmm. It was parading our costumes, really.
Yeah.
That was the second one I remember. Don't really remember many of the others. Oh, at secondary school, some of the families used to organise private dances in the school holidays. And if we were lucky enough to be invited, we'd have a new dress made and off we would go. And it was usually in a local hall or a cleared out dining room in somebody's home. I think it must have been dancing to records, I can't remember, but they were special occasions.
They'd all be supervised by adults?
Yes, by the parents.
Yeah. Any alcohol?
No. I don't remember having alcohol. I don't remember ever having alcohol at functions until after I left school. I know my parents enjoyed the old drink, but I just don't remember. We might have had a Pimm's or something. Can't remember. We would have felt very grand and grown up with a punch might have been. Goodness knows what was in that. And then the next lot of dancing would probably have been, at secondary school, a boys' prep school was in the same district. And these little boys would come over to practice dancing with all these busty young women. It must have been agony for some of them. But that was only occasionally. I think it was the winter term. After that, I think, were the odd dances in the local public hall after we left school in Taupo.
And that was with live bands?
Yes, I think it was.
Because I know there was a phase around here where people would follow the bands around, certain favoured bands.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. But I remember we ran for a fundraiser for a group in Taupo. We realised we had such an influx of young people from all over the place coming to their family bachelors. And nothing really organised for them other than a drive-in movie at the auto park or something. Or the hot pools, or swimming, or sailing. But at night time, it could have been movies. Although in those early times, we didn't have much power. People had generators as well. No, I think the ones that we ran in the town hall for this fundraiser, we had called a night in Japan, a night in Spain, a night in Mexico. We did it for several years.
So this was a fundraiser. Who was organising it?
Just a group of my age group.
Okay.
A group of us. And it was good fun.
And this was roughly when?
In the late 50s.
The late, okay. Yes. Yep.
Second half of the 50s.
So people sort of, late teens, early 20s
yes.
were...
Yes.
Just doing that. And
there were thousands of young people that came on holiday over the summer.
Okay, yeah. And so, as a fundraiser, what were the funds used for when you raised
it? Was the Junior National Party, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
yep.
It was a local organisation.
Okay. And you got Labour Party supporters going as
I
well?
I have no idea. That didn't enter into
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
No idea. Okay. Or it might have been for Red Cross, one of the groups we were involved with.
Yeah.
But one year particularly, I remember somebody said we couldn't get a local band. Try one in Rotorua. So we got this young group over from Rotorua, and it turned out that they went ahead and were much in demand everywhere. It was Howard Morrison on one of his earliest public performances.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a success.
Yeah.
Then all those years of married life... and having children and what have you, the only time we went dancing was probably the old ball, a combined schools ball, Plunkett ball, things like that occasionally.
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't have much time for extracurricular things. Then after we retired, it was a different story. We'd been pestered for years to join the Palmerston North Dance Club.
Can I just go back? Because if you were organising these dances in Taupo with the bands and stuff, what sort of dancing were they doing? Was it rock and roll they were doing?
Rock and roll and twist.
Yeah.
But waltz. I was thinking of chain.
What was that?
Waltzes.
Yeah.
Okay. Chain waltz. I suddenly remembered about that the other day because I heard that tune.
The chain waltz.
The music would stop and the band would go da 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 da, and it was one of the theme tunes from something. When that happened, you walked until the music stopped, and then you danced with the person that was up next to you.
You
had two circles revolving.
Okay. So
that was the chain waltz. What else did we used to do? Oh, foxtrots and quick steps.
Yes.
A lot of sequence people don't seem to know, just ordinary foxtrots and quick steps. And Ian and I often found at sequence nights that we were one of about three couples doing it. What
Gay
else?
Gordons?
Oh, Gay Gordons, of course.
That was common, was it?
Yes, always. That was a good icebreaker.
It's a good way for everyone to get to meet other people.
A good icebreaker. If you were sitting on the sideline, that was always interesting. You'd have the music playing, and then the music, the people would change partners. Mm-hmm. Instead of the music and the shush, shush of people's feet on the floor, you'd hear this, hello. From all these voices at the same time.
Yeah.
And then it was just a murmur and the shush, shush of the music. That was the weirdest sound effect.
Yeah.
Quite nice.
So was it also that the stories I've heard were the idea of the girls all lined up against one wall and the boys against...
Oh, the agony.
I'd
forgotten about that. Yes, it was quite right. The boys would tend to hang around the door to some extent. Oh. The girls would all be down the side. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is early on.
And then the boys
would disappear.
In
those days, the girls didn't leave the hall.
Okay.
You had got yourself a bad name if you left the hall.
Okay.
But the boys would often have a few beers or something in the boot of the car.
The girls didn't smuggle them in under their skirts?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, in some places.
And some of those dancers had a supper room, particularly country halls, right down the side. There would be the most amazing suppers with great big sponge cakes. Did you ever know that?
I wasn't here. I was in England, so we didn't have
it.
I have heard about that sort of thing.
I'd forgotten about that. I'd also forgotten about how I first learned to dance. Was at the Silver Hope Hall south of Hunterville with my parents, and every so often there would be a barn dance, which just meant they dragged hay bales and you sat round on hay bales and dancing a waltz with my father, standing on, I would have been standard three, so standard two, so up to 10 years old or less than that, standing on his feet. One, two, three, one, two, three. But my father wasn't a great dancer. We'd get to a corner, instead of doing a circle or something and going around the corner, he would go tap, 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 right, in a straight line again. Off again. One, two, three. One. I'd forgotten. Yes. And then, of course, later on, after we started dancing again, and meeting up with the, what became good friends, we took ourselves over to Bull's one night for the Bull's Town Hall dance. We didn't know a soul, so we didn't know. People tend to sit in the same spot each time, so we didn't know if we were in somebody's usual place or not. And that music from that was usually Colin Thompson. I can't remember the name of their band, but they were all Savage Club members. Beautiful music with all those lovely old 1930s, 40s, and even 1920s music.
So was that, when you say 40, you mean Glenn Miller type?
Yes, or? But beautiful. I'm trying to think of, I've got all those CDs and all my music tapes. S's of them. Plus my programs. Can't remember. All the old music that you tend to sing to or when you hear it. And those were lovely dances. And it was non-stop. You'd just about, the music would stop. You'd stand and gossip for a minute on the floor before you even got to your seat, the next dance would start. And that was fabulous. It's just on and on and on.
Now, your sons would have grown up in quite a different era. So did you see what was their equivalent of those dances?
Tramping, probably.
Oh, theirs was tramping. So, no, so they didn't go to dances?
No.
No, nothing? No. Okay.
We didn't really get into that.
Yeah.
They'd flown by then.
Ah, yes, okay.
By the time he had retired, they were at university. Or, barbecues, I suppose, that sort of thing they would have been into. Climbing something. Building igloos on Ruahinis for scout survival things.
So now you're retired, so, you got back into lots
of... so that was social dancing. A lot of that possibly tended to be a certain amount of sequence stuff as well. Then the Friday night stuff was held in the Scots Hall at Fielding, Weld Street, every Friday, and that was a tuition as well as just enjoying dancing. And that music was to tapes. And we learned lots of new dancers because some of the members were members of the Palmerston North Dance Club or the Newbury Dance Group as well. So what else? Oh, and for Ian and for me, Inglesides, which are hosted by Scottish societies. So we used to go to one in Whanganui.
So an Ingleside is the is that a Scottish just equivalent the name of a ceilidh? Oh, a specific
Well,
dance.
A ceilidh usually has items of people taking their pipes or their whistles. There's usually a dance band or sometimes sometimes tapes at Ingleside. So there was Whanganui, Levin, not so often, but we went to the Scottish Annual Ball every year. Mangatunoko, which was run by the Pahiatua Scottish Society. Dannebirk, which was always in the church or school hall.
Is this from a particular Scottish background? That
yes, we both got Scottish connections of ancestors. And Ian is a piper, and Andrew is a piper.
Yeah.
And now, to our joy, one of our granddaughters has been learning Highland dancing this last year, so, and doing very well.
So is Stafford a Scottish name?
No, it's Schleswig-Holstein. Apparently the ancestor that came out was Heinrich Christian Stafford. I can't remember what year. It's all written up in one of the books. And it was at the time of George of Hanover.
Yes.
It was the Hanoverian estates or something where they worked.
Yeah.
So it would have been 18-something.
Yes. It was close. So because of the king, it was so closely linked to Britain. In fact, you know, in the Peninsular War, in the Napoleonic Wars, apparently about 40% of the troops under Wellesley in Spain were actually German-speaking.
So moving around the world is not new, is it?
Absolutely.
So we used to enjoy those. Mm. We also used to go to Burns Nights, which must be coming up this month, Burns Dinner.
Yes.
And they would usually, particularly in Fielding, after the Burns Dinner and the formalities and the speeches and everything, they'd clear the decks and we would dance.
Yeah.
So at one of those sorts of dances, you would also have the Eighth and Reel, Three Steps, Eva Three Step, we used to love. The Scottish Gay Gordons, all the various Scotty dances, the Lomond Waltz, those various Scotty ones as well. And it's lovely, I miss it.
So was this post-retirement you got into?
Yes, it was.
Okay. So there's a big community around?
Yes, there was. All in our age group, and they're slowly falling by the wayside, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But no doubt, some of us used to sing,
And
I used to whistle because I couldn't sing.
Yeah.
So I can remember somebody saying, "What's happened to the whistle tonight? Keep it up, girl." To be correct, you didn't talk much on a dance floor in the good old days. You certainly, women didn't whistle.
Yeah.
A whistling woman and a crowing hen are neither used to God nor men, my granddad used to say.
Okay.
So, yes, and you didn't sing either, except for Auld Lang Syne.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, an interesting thing that doesn't happen now, I think. At the Fielding dances or Ingleside's, we always used to sing the national anthem at the end of the dance.
Okay, yep.
Now you rarely hear that unless it's a sporting function. It's sort of gone by the board.
The cinemas, I was surprised the cinemas here apparently used to have the national anthem before the film.
Yes.
Whereas in Britain, they had the national anthem at the end of the film, which meant as the film was coming to the end, everyone would try and rush out before the anthem started.
Those were the days. What else did we dance? Oh, the dead balls. The biggest dead ball we went to was a district one. Debutante's ball.
Yes. So when was this going on?
Oh, right up until just a few years ago.
Really?
The Scottish Society
Scottish Society.
They still have them.
Okay.
But the biggest one was a district one in Marton. That would probably be 20 or 30 years ago now. But there was something like 20-something debutantes that year. It was huge.
Yeah.
Biggest one I've ever been to.
Oh.
Good music again, good dance.
Was this the same as you might expect? Would it be in America or Britain?
I don't think so.
because
it wasn't like having a season or anything.
Because I recall someone, in fact, just recently, I recall someone who came out from Britain and she was invited to a ball, and she told her mother back home, "I'm going to a ball." She expected you get all dressed up fancy.
Yes.
And she went along, and there was a bowl of sausages on the table. It was more like a sort of farmer's barn together, but they called it a ball. So she was
possibly it's become less formal, but the dead balls aren't.
Yeah,
We used to go to those in Martin, once we went to Martin, the huge one, but Fielding and Laffin. I don't remember going to any here.
Now, can I ask as well, a lot of that you talk about Scottish dancing, and there's very much sort of the European approach. Were the Maori involved, or was the Maori interaction at all?
Not a great deal. But there was the band. One of our great drummers was a Maori gentleman, and he Maori. Mm. Hmm. And he still plays at the Savage Club, which is now known as Stage Door.
Yes. Mm. Okay.
There's some wonderful musicians there. Mm. What other sort of dancing? Oh, the White Heather Nights that I ran at our local Scottish society here, and people used to come from Tai Happy and Whanganui.
Which means what? Is that something distinctive about it? If it's
it was just a name I plucked out of the hat, I suppose. Although I guess they'd had it before. Mm. That was the one where we had the two accordionists from Wellington, but they only play locally down, like us, they have aged. They only play in the Wellington region.
But then you mentioned about bagpipes. That's a big thing here, isn't it?
It was where we lived in Canada too, in Ontario.
Yeah.
We went to pipe band competitions there just to watch and listen. But
Ian, and that's something that younger people are carrying on, is it?
Yes.
Are they also into the Scottish dancing then, the younger people?
I don't think so, not much.
Yeah.
I don't think so. So there is Scottish Highland dancing or Scottish dancing in our own Scottish hall here.
Yeah. Oh, and there's competitions in the square, isn't there?
That's alive and well. That's Highland dancing.
Now, is there, the distinction between Scottish dancing and Highland dancing?
Highland dancing is the sort of dancing you'll see on the board.
On boards with the swords or whatever sometimes.
Irish ones or the sailor boy ones. But there's country, Highland, Scottish dancing would be country dancing.
Okay.
So you'll see them associated with the Esplanade Day they used to put on.
Yes.
But they're usually in white, and the guys would be in kilts.
So is the Highland more from the Highlands of Scotland dancing more the Lowlands? Or
I don't know. I never thought about it. But I know that some of the biggest followers for Highland dancing, they have it in Japan, all around the world.
Yes. Yeah.
They'll do that. Because bear in mind, Scots weren't the only people piping or wearing skirts.
That's right. Well, there's the question, when did the kilt actually come in? And
it was banned for a while, totally banned for a while.
But also, as common dress, the idea of the tartan and the clan tartan.
Yes.
There was some idea, wasn't it, that it was an Englishman who wrote a book about the tartans and actually made up that concept, which then caught on?
I don't know, but I can lend you all the
you've got all the books and outs
there. All our different kilts or clan tartans.
So do you have contact to Scottish relatives back in Scotland?
Not now, but I'd like to trace some who are in the Shetlands.
Oh, yes.
But I can tell you about some of the others, but
Have you ever been back to
No, I didn't get to Europe.
Yeah, okay.
We really needed a wife or two incomes in our younger day to travel.
Yes.
Either that or a decent inheritance.
Yeah.
No, I didn't work for money. My work was voluntary.
Yes, yeah.
Except for those years as a referee.
So that's an interesting aspect, because one thing that some, in fact, I find I'm hearing from younger people now, especially with COVID and the lockdown and so on, more of an idea, yes, family time is more important. There's been a growing focus. You need two incomes. You need a lot of material things. You need the spending. And now they're seeing, well, there's a lot of value with time together. And so they're actually moving back more towards that time. And, and the issue as well, which, I mean, we're both aware doing voluntary stuff in retirement, but you go back 50 years and a lot of the voluntary sector was supported by the housewives or whatever, because there were fewer people actually in the workforce. There was the
50 years ago, and 40 years ago, probably 30 years ago, I was doing things like going around schools, helping to take orders for health camps, first day cover sales, Meals on Wheels from Awapuni Hospital, doing my turn with Save the Children Fund, sitting outside somewhere rattling a bucket. What else? I had a list a mile long of local things that I did.
Yes,
but even before we were married, we started a I played badminton. Oh, I played badminton and squash here too.
But the community connections
we
as
had
well.
We started Red Cross, we started a ballroom dancing club, we started a ski club when after I left school.
And this is all sort of young people, people of working age, whereas now we're struggling because leadership of groups is so much more. It's retired people, and a lot are saying, well, they've
most
done
of
it, they don't want to do anymore.
Have done it for years.
Yes.
I'm right down to one committee now.
Yes.
Apart from that, I had 1 year when we had sabbatical in Canada when I wasn't on any committee at all.
Yeah.
The first week we were home, would I make a cake for Riverdale Kindy Stall?
And now groups are having to close because they don't have the people prepared to step in to lead them. Young people don't
young
have time,
people
and older
whose
people
parents have never
have
been in community service of any sort.
Yes, that's true. Young
so they haven't had that family togetherness that you talked about.
Yes, yes.
I used to take one of my the youngest with me on doing Meals on Wheels.
Yeah.
Interesting people. There were matrons of hospital, on hospital ships, principals of schools, all sorts of amazing, amazing occupations those people had had.
Yeah, yeah.
They'd be sitting there waiting for you. Apart from the district nurse, sometimes the Meals on Wheels person was the only person they saw.
Yes,
and you didn't have time to spend long enough with them.
Yeah, yeah.
But they enjoyed seeing a kidney kid with you.
Yes, I'm
a little
sure
fellow.
They would.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.